Hello, this is Burke Midget with The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. By the way, The Word Works, and I'm glad you're here. Well, thank you for joining me today for this edition of The Word Works. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word, your spirit within us, your hand on us, and we thank you for revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit, the true teacher, revelation knowledge to flow far beyond the words that we speak into the hearts and lives of these your people. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about prayer, and we said it's communication with God and speaking the word back to him, holding his word up to him like a mirror. It's what E.W. Kenyon said. I love what Kenyon said. His word, it's his word in the lips of faith. It's like he himself speaking, because we're speaking his word boldly back to him. And we thank God that it's a constant communion with the Father of fellowshipping with him. We started off talking last time about the prayer life, and we finished up the first time talking about the prayer life. And Jesus in Luke 18:1 said, "And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." We talked about developing an effective prayer life, overcoming three enemies of prayer: interruptions, drowsiness, we could say, and wandering thoughts. We talked about the different types of prayer. Over in Ephesians 6:18, we introduced that by saying, Paul says, praying always with all prayer, or all kinds of prayer, Goodspeed says. And then we got into last time the prayer of consecration and dedication. We could also call this the prayer of submission to God's will. And we said it's important to know that we pray this prayer when the Bible doesn't specifically tell us in a definite situation what we're to do, or we're unclear of it. So God, you know, I want to hear your spirit, and I'm committing this to you. I will go this direction if it's your will. Jesus had to do that in the garden as he faced the crucifixion. If it's not my will, but your will, Lord God. And I think it's so important that we kind of ingrain this once again in 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in him, the confidence. If we have that confidence in him, is because we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So when we know his will, we don't pray this prayer of consecration or dedication or submission. We've already submitted ourselves to God's will by looking into his word. I mean, we're not being legalistic here and say, you know, you can't say that. I mean, but at the same time, we can come before God and say, I submit to your word, and this is what your word says. So I'm praying according to his will, according to his word. And we know that the Bible has been given for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, and that Jesus only prayed this prayer one time. Why? Because the word shows us the will of God in doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. We also ended up last time talking about Psalms 40, verse 8. I delight to do your will, O God. And then John chapter 5, verse 30. And I'm going to look at that one more time. John 5:30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. The Passion Translation says, basically, I can do nothing on my own except to fulfill the desires of the Father who sent me. Isn't that what we want? We want to fulfill the desires that God has for us. And that's when we don't seek our will, but his will. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 42. From the King James: Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went on a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now watch what he says here. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he, verse 40, and he comes unto his disciples and finds them asleep and says, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know, there was a doctrine started on this, or a process started where, you know, could you not tarry 1 hour? And praise God, you know, I think it's important to pray and spend time with God, but we don't need to get into bondage of I've got to spend an hour with God, because that's what the Bible says that Jesus expected of his disciples in this case. But anyway, let's go. So just be led by the Spirit. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And boy, you pray for an hour, you'll have liberty. But if you don't pray for an hour, you can still have liberty. Amen. Verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Boy, that's true. Here he's talking about drowsiness, like we talked about earlier. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And this is the key. This is where he cried out. He cried out to his Father like he was in childlike brokenness and dependency, and God heard him. What was his prayer? Remove this cup from me, but not my will, not the will of the flesh. I want the will of the Spirit. And that's what we need to come down to, isn't it? Not what our flesh wants, but what is the Spirit within us telling us? The Holy Spirit within our spirit is communicating to us, and it's up to follow that. And Jesus basically confirms that, the will of the Spirit versus the will of the flesh in verse 41. You know, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Wow. So we've got to look to the Spirit of God when we pray. In other words, I want the divine will of the Spirit, versus the human will, the will of the flesh. Praise God. So in verse 42, he asks again. He comes back again in verse 42, and he says, basically, he's saying it, repeating it, not asking. He says, Oh, my Father, if this cup, well, there's a question, I guess. If this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, your will be done. Wow. He's struggling to be released from this pressure. You know, the pressure may come on us from the enemy. The devil, I'm sure, was throwing thoughts at him, but he was there to do the will of the Father. And when you're doing the will of God and the Word of God, the pressure may come, and it may come hard, but the Word of God is more powerful than that pressure. Over in Luke's account of this, in Luke 22, verse 42, he says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And a couple of translations of that are interesting. Beck says, as he began to struggle inwardly. Moffat says he fell into agony. 20th Century says, and his anguish became intense, because he had knelt down and he was before God in this. Luke 22, chapter 22, verse 42 through 44 from the King James says, Father, Jesus is saying the same situation. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Verse 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. But he rose up and he went back to his disciples, and he knew what he was going to do. A couple of translations of this about the agony of Jesus and the struggle he was having. Beck says, and as he began to struggle inwardly. Moffat says, he fell into agony. 20th Century says, as his anguish became intense. Basic English says, the force of his prayer became stronger. See, he basically, in verse 44, prayed those words a third time. He came back to God. He wanted the will of God, but his flesh was giving him a fit. Now, you and I have been in some of these same situations. Perhaps, you look at martyrs, and there's all sorts of situations where people move in their faith and move in the direction God's leading them. But let me tell you, in this situation, we've not experienced, most of the people I know have not experienced this, unless you've been tortured for Christ. And they've definitely experienced this. But let me tell you, in this situation, this was the plan of God. I'm not saying those are the plans of God, but this was the plan of God. And he had to follow God's will. And remember, in Psalms 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will. I'm not seeking my own will, according to John 5:30 we read, but the will of the Father who sent me. So if you're struggling right now, you're in a situation where it's agonizing, it's it, the, the, The challenges are there. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father God, I thank you for this believer as they come before the Lord in prayer, as we come before the Lord in prayer. I thank you that we, me included, will walk in the will of the Spirit rather than the will of the flesh. We'll walk in divine will rather than human will. And that, Father God, we commit ourselves and focus and concentrate ourselves to you and submit ourselves to your will. That you will lead us, you will guide us by your Spirit, and you will guide us by your word. And Father, we pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. So we want the heavenly plan for our earthly life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us today for The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. Please consider subscribing to receive our latest podcasts. For more information about this ministry and additional resources, please visit us at bertandjoe.com. That's BERTANDJO.com. And remember, the Word works.